Have any of you ever looked through night vision goggles? Now, night vision goggles, sometimes we get them for our kids because they're such a cool toy to play with, but they are used by people in every good spy novel that you've ever read and used by the military, apparently. Well, I looked up some things about night vision goggles. Helps you. You can see people as far as 200 yards away on a moonless night. And it turns out that they project infrared light or ultraviolet radiation, and they detect individual photons, really. And the energy of these photoelectrons becomes light when they strike a fluorescent screen in the goggles. You guys probably knew this. I didn't. Well, of course, Kyle knew it, but I didn't know. Well, this allows the wearer to see figures and in pitch blackness. They can actually see people, you know, moving around, and it really, they kind of take the bump out of the night. Unless somebody turns on a light. Now, ironically, if a light switch is flipped on, the light that lets everybody else see, light to the night vision goggle wearer instantly and painfully blinds them if they're wearing goggles. I guess that's how come it's in some of those spy novels. Now, if you get up in the middle of the night and you go into the bathroom and you turn on the light, what happens to you? Painful blindness, doesn't it? Now, when you come out and you turn off the light, you better stand your ground for a little while. And why? Because if you don't, you're going to fall because you're in pitch blackness. It takes a while for your eyes to adjust. Our eyes have to adjust to the light and to the dark. Now, that isn't a bad thing, and that isn't a good thing. It's just that depending on what's going on around us, our eyes need to adjust. Now, the very first dark to light experience that we have ever had, all of us here, none of us remember. After 9 comfy months in our moms, we're all born physically, and we come into the light. In fact, the word in Spanish to give birth, if they translate it, thank you so much. You're going to need that. Thank you. If you transfer the words in Spanish to give birth, it means give to the light. And that process is kind of painful. It's rightly named birth pangs. The light that floods a new baby's eyes is painful, they say, and frightening. Now, just as it hurts to be born, to come into the physical light of the world, it hurts to grow up. Our young people can attest to this. Growing up is painful. Now, how many of you, if you're an adult, would go back to being a little kid again? You know, not too many of us would. Well, yeah, of course, that's because you're not far from being a kid back there in the crying room. That's why you're back there. Not many of us would go back to being little. But just because a young person gets taller or bigger or heavier, it doesn't mean that they're growing up as human beings. Because growing up as a human being is less about size and more about content. Becoming an adult is a mission. It's not a position. It makes to grow up as a person requires going through a lot of painful lessons. And I think we could all attest to that. Kind of like little death experiences that we have in life. Hopefully followed by resurrection experiences. You know, if you go from an infant to a toddler, from being held to having to walk, that's a painful transition to make in your life. If you go from toddler at play to kindergarten and school, it's painful. Friendly little buddies to bullies, that's a painful transition to go through. Middle school, nothing but pain, right? High school, we should put Novocaine in the water. That's how painful high school is. Separation from parents, friends, home, from everything familiar in life for 18 years to go to college, painful. Falling in love, falling out of love, marriage, children, perhaps divorce, death, job, unemployment, mortgages, bills, not being able to pay the bills, all painful. All different death experiences, followed by, hopefully, resurrection experiences. When Paul once again wrote to his cantankerous Corinthian church, it was to once again try to shine the light of the truth that he had experienced on the Damascus Road into the darkened hearts of these would-be disciples of Jesus. You see, Paul had matured. He had gone through several personal death experiences and little personal resurrections. Now, on the Damascus Road, Paul had experienced a blinding and painful light, and it had transformed and transfigured his entire life. Everything he believed, everything he had taught, everything he had walked, everything he had lived and breathed was suddenly and painfully revealed by a bright light to be different than what he had based his life on. Painful experience. And in that light, the truth was revealed to Paul's heart and his mind and his soul. And in that light, Paul saw perfectly the glory of God. And the glory of God was the face of Jesus Christ. And just like someone who was wearing night vision goggles, that sudden light temporarily blinded Paul. Saul of Tarsus died on the road to Damascus. Paul the apostle was resurrected from Saul's corpse. But do you think, even for a minute, that that was the end of death experiences for Paul? Do you think, even for a minute, that because Paul suddenly understood the truth of Christ and trusted Christ as his Lord and Savior, that suddenly his life was a bed of roses? Suddenly everything came together perfectly? Suddenly everything was all comfy and cozy for him? Well, all of us know Scripture well enough to know that his life became more difficult after that day. His life became more full of little death experiences after his conversion. Paul was so used to being the special Pharisee with special Pharisee privileges. Don't you think he died a little bit each time he was thrown out of a synagogue? Don't you think that he died a little bit each time when he was accused of lying about the Torah that he held so dear? Don't you think that he died a little bit every time he was treated like a common criminal and sent to jail for nothing? Or every time he was falsely accused? Paul, this outstanding Jew, he was rejected and cursed and chased and humiliated, beaten and excluded and abandoned. But Paul's experience of the true light, his resurrection experience, his life after that death experience on the Damascus Road, the way Jesus transformed him by grace and power, that made it possible for him to persevere. It made it possible for him to bear the burdens and the death experiences, and to not only bear them, but to be encouraged by them. The light that blinded Paul on the Damascus Road lit his heart and his soul and his mind, even though the world kept trying to put out that light. Now, on Transfiguration Sunday, you know what you usually get. You get a sermon about the Transfiguration, miraculous event on the mountaintop. Jesus is transfigured from the heavens with the heavenly presence of Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets. But this week's Corinthians lesson focuses on a different kind of a transfiguration, and I thought we should talk about that. The personal transfiguration of every person, and I mean every person, who steps into the light of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of their lives. That's the truth. And that's the transforming event that Paul is teaching about. You see, those who claim Christ are different than those who don't. And those who claim Christ, though, even though they are different, they're not exempt from the death experiences of life. But those who claim Christ deal with those death experiences differently. Those who claim Christ are not beaten by those death experiences. Those who claim Christ find life and victory in those death experiences, and it shows in the living of their lives. The transformation that comes from the light of Christ, you know, it reproduces and it reflects from those who have it. Paul's claim to the Corinthian congregation is that his ministry and the ministry that they were entrusted with and the ministry that we are entrusted with are to be reflections. The light of God that he himself experienced on the Damascus Road, you know, it continued to reflect out of Paul's life, even in the midst of those death experiences that he had to endure. You know, on that road, Saul of Tarsus became roadkill. Paul the Apostle was born. That was the resurrection from that death experience for Paul. And that's the kind of transfiguration that we are called to experience. And we're then called to reflect. Now, transfiguration is not just an account of Jesus and a few of his disciples on a mountaintop. Transfiguration is also about those who have been transfigured by Christ and who are now commanded to reflect that light into the darkness of this world. And you know as well as I that that light hurts before it brings light. You know, a few weeks ago, just like you, I was so happy about the story of that air flight that landed on the Hudson River. And it will go down in history as the miracle on the Hudson. But have you noticed something that has happened since then? I don't know if you watch the news. But the people whose lives were saved, the people who lived to leap off of the wings of that airplane, who first called themselves survivors, first called themselves incredibly blessed, lucky, miraculous survivors, have now, some of them, started to call themselves something else. Some of those miraculous survivors have shut out this opportunity. This opportunity to live life renewed with a fresh vision, and they have begun to refer to themselves as victims. Have you seen this change in the news? No longer are many of these people just glad to be alive. No longer are these people just praising God for their salvation. Nobody, nope. Some of them have now chosen to retreat into victimhood, into darkness, and to not grasp the opportunity that God has given them. They have found a new identity, you see. They're not survivors anymore. They're victims. They're helpless. And I'm sure they're looking forward to lawsuits promising lots of money. In the end, it is our choice if we stay dead. In the end, it is our choice for walking into the light of life of Jesus Christ. It's our choice. We can be victims of the death experiences of life, but we can also be survivors and be renewed and strengthened by them. You know, no one loves the things in life that hurt you. No one loves the things in life that change us, because quite frequently they're painful. No one likes accidents, or money problems, or failure at school or on the job, or divorce, or the end of relationships. No one likes severe sicknesses. No one likes physical death of a loved one. No one likes those things. But changes, even the most painful death type of changes, do not have to end up in darkness. Those changes can point us towards the light. And we can step into it and be renewed. There is life after death experiences. Now, this side of the grave. You know, when I was 17 years old, I've told this story to some of you, I lived by myself. And even though I was working full-time and had two part-time jobs, I didn't have enough money to put gas in my car. Do you remember this story, guys? I had a 1970 Volkswagen Beetle, and on a very lonely highway in Olathe, Kansas, I ran out of gas. It was a very different time back then, and a kindly farmer picked me up in a pickup truck as I walked on the side of the road, and he dropped me off at a gas station. It was a different time back then, Andy. You know, I fumbled for a coin. They had payphones back then. You guys don't know where they are, what those are, but they were phones. They hung on the wall, and you could put a coin in them, and you could make a call. I fumbled for a coin. I got it, and I reached to put the money in the slot, and you know what I realized that night in Kansas? I had no one to call. Now, I know this is difficult, probably, for you to think about, but what I'm saying, it's true. You see, I was 17 years old. I lived by myself with my two Dobermans. I had not one friend and not one family member to call. I was totally alone in a gas station in Olathe, Kansas. And I sat that night in that gas station in Kansas, and I cried inside, not outside, inside. I didn't know what to do, but I knew that it was up to me because there was no one else. I had a death experience that night. The old Sonny Stock died that night. And someone different came from those ashes. Now, as I look over you who have become my friends so dear to John and I know the hurts that some of you are feeling. I don't know them all, but I know some of them. But what I do know for sure is that every one of you in this place, in this sanctuary this morning, is hurting somewhere in your life. I know there's an area of your life where you're having a death experience. Because isn't that kind of what life is about? The promise of Transfiguration Sunday is that there is life after those death experiences. The Lord can turn that pain and that death, no matter what it is, He can turn that death and pain into light and life. The pain and death experiences, no matter what they are, no matter what, they can be signs that new life is just around the corner. Light is blinding. But if you stand your ground, your eyes will get used to it. And you'll be able to see. So what are your hurts this morning? Don't shout them out. But you have them. What hurts your heart? What don't you know how the Lord's going to pull it out of the dumper? What hurt is that? But you need to know this morning that because of Christ, there is new life. And if you let Him out of the ashes, there will be resurrection in your soul. Now, just before Johnny Cash died, he brought back a Nine Inch Nails song and he covered it. And he made it into a video. And it's called Hurt. Now, Mark's going to throw that song up on the screen. And as you listen to Johnny Cash sing these words, I want you to think about your personal hurts and death experiences that you're going through right now. And I want you to trust them to Jesus. I want you to give them to the Lord consciously, because he will not take them if you do not offer them. He's a gentleman. So I want you to trust the Lord this morning, because you will be changed. You will find life. And that's the truth.